Start the tape. So I guess I'll call our meeting to order. Just reminding everybody that this is being taped. This is a state meeting, whatever. Public meeting. I'm Terry Griffin, and I'm the chairman of the committee. Go around and introduce ourselves. That'd be great.
I'm Mike Rice.
Asheria's board staff.
Hi, David Sekulis.
Phyllis Barker from the Oregon Society of CPAs.
And Julie Nadeau, board staff.
Okay. So hopefully you've all had a chance to review, and I guess I'll ask for an approval of the agenda.
Approved.
Yeah.
Let's see, and I second it. We're the only voting people. So. I guess I probably should mention there are 5 members to our committee, and we have 3 members in attendance. We do have a quorum. Robert Moody has also sent in some of his comments, which have been provided to everybody. So Robert Moody being one of the members of our committee who is not present. With that, I'm not sure who's supposed to talk about RAB meetings. So that probably was Kimberly.
I sent Kimberly an email and sent the packet with the upcoming, currently scheduled peer review committee meetings. And there is a confidentiality letter that has to be signed if someone from the prop wants to observe a RAB. Mm-hmm.
So I'll cover that briefly. Have either of you gone to a RAB meeting?
No.
Okay. So RAB meeting is where the RAB gets together. They go through individual firms' peer reviews, mm-hmm. the results from them. The peer review captain has typically suggested some type of, assuming it's not a pass, they would suggest some sort of a remedial action to take place, usually additional CPE or something that you've seen in some of these. Mm-hmm. And people sit around and discuss if they believe that is an appropriate action, or more or less, or they agree with the, you know, to report as a pass with deficiency. Does the whole RAB group agree that it is a pass with deficiency as opposed to a fail? Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting process. Yeah. Is that fair to that sound reasonably?
I would say that those who have sat and observed are speechless afterwards.
Mm-hmm. In a good way or a bad way?
Kind of overwhelmed with all that's going on all that they have to know. And because they have to be consistent in what they're doing. So,
So it is an interesting process. I did go to one. And so it's a good educational process if you can, if you have some time.
When is the next meeting?
Well, I have them. There's an email in here with them listed. The next one is October 25th. It's strictly a web audio meeting, and so is the December 20th and the February 21st. But
I'd be happy to attend. I'd have to check my schedule. Mm-hmm. Is that that's in the packet here?
Yeah, that was page 2 or so.
Yeah, and I'd say anyone who wants to attend, just reach out to Ashley, and she can get you the confident, or would that come from you, the confidentiality agreement?
At this point, either one, because your rules say they're supposed to sign one.
Right. So we're working on that.
And so if you've done that, then I can take that.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. So if you reach out to
the folders,
which was in the folders,
is in your folders.
Yep.
So if you, if you reach out to Ashley, let her know that you'd like to attend. We'll make sure that Phyllis gets anything that she needs from us. Mm-hmm. And then, you can report back what your experience was.
Right.
I also want to note that the PROC has a new liaison, Candy Franck, retired as of June. And she's now traveling with her husband around the country.
Good for her.
Yes, excellent for her. We miss her, but she's, she's having a lot of fun. So our new liaison to this committee is Nancy Young Oliver, who happens to also be the new board chair. So I don't think Nancy's worked at all with the PROC in the past. She may, she may be interested in going to a RAB meeting too.
She can't because she's on the board.
Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah. So she cannot go. Okay. All right.
Board staff and board members can't.
Okay. Never mind. I just thought it would be a good experience.
No, it would be,
a good learning curve.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, Nancy won't be going then. Never mind.
Quick question on the RAD meetings. As a committee, do we have an objective that certain committee members participate in RAD meetings, on a certain basis, or is it strictly just informational? Is there something in the rules that, a certain mix of committee members should participate?
It's nothing in the rules, but can I explain why? Because the Oregon Board of Accountancy has already rules in place where they have access to peer review information, some states don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we still administer a program for the Oregon Board of Accountancy for firms that are not part of the AICPA program. Mm-hmm. They don't have a partner, owner, shareholder that's part of the AICPA.
Mm-hmm.
PROC members are invited to do, it's really like an oversight visit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get comfortable that the RAB is functioning, to get comfortable that there's processes in place.
Right.
There used to be this, and there still is at times, there's this concern, I'm just going to be frank, there has been concern over the years that it's like a club and they protect each other.
Mm, interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And again, it's because people haven't seen the process.
Right.
And it's an ethical profession. I work with ethical volunteers.
Right. Right.
So over the years, I've taken great exception with that, having sat through many other meetings. But it's also a way to alleviate concerns about whether there's fairness, whether there's consistency.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And it's not something we don't take part in, we just observe.
Right.
You observe and then you're welcome to ask questions, but
you're not like you're voting on anything.
Right. Yeah, I think it's really valuable for us to observe as committee members, and that's why I was curious if there was a stated objective where, each committee member observes a certain instance or something.
If you end up picking one that ends up being a long meeting, they've left like deer in the headlights, like, really?
Yeah.
You lost me like an hour, 2 hours ago.
Right. It's a commitment of time, but if it is a big meeting, there's nothing requiring you to stay for the whole meeting.
No.
Yep. Okay.
Lunchtime's here. I'm out.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Thanks.
Okay, so now I misplaced my agenda. Okay, so new business. Now review of first non-pass peer review reports. First non-pass peer review reports. So we got a whole listing of these, and it appears. No. I guess.
I got a quick question.
Sure.
One of the recurring themes for here is permit an outside party to perform a post-issuance review. What does that look like? Who performs those, and then do those reports get some? I mean, do we see those reports, or where do those reports go to? Who reviews them? Who approves them?
Sure. Let's see. The committee, let's see, the RAB, do they approve them?
The outside party has to approve, be approved by the peer review committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
They will automatically approve a qualified peer reviewer. They are automatically approved.
Yeah.
If a firm asks about someone else, and this happens occasionally, the committee has to feel comfortable that they're qualified.
Okay.
In other words, they themselves need to be getting a past peer review report.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to have, in their most recent peer review, dealt with the same industry, if it's industry specific.
Yeah.
So are most of the firms that perform those positions reviews, are they peer reviewers?
Right.
By and large.
That's the easiest for a firm to do, is hire someone who is already a qualified peer reviewer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So I guess, one last question on that. Once that happens, and then that peer reviewer provides a report to, do we ever see where they say, no, they didn't do a good job the second time, or whatever that is?
Here's what we would see. If it's the only thing, like whenever there's a corrective actions, when they're all completed, so if they, I'm just going to use a weird example, but let's say they had five things to do. Mm-hmm. Once the last thing is completed, the firm's going to get what is internally called a completion letter. Mm-hmm. And that's a letter that tells them when their next peer review report is due.
Yeah.
You as the proc would not see any of the things that were done.
Mm-hmm.
They've all come through the peer review committee of the RAB for confirmation that they've done what's been asked.
Yeah.
If they did not, let's say the post-issuance review or the pre-issuance review shows they still don't have it correctly,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to have a subsequent request.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so the review is going to stay open. There's going to be what we call a revised acceptance letter,
mm-hmm.
that said, okay, you were asked to do all this, and you've done all this, but now we want you to do this. The letter's getting really long.
Yeah.
You know, because...
Right.
Yeah, they get really long, but...
But basically, it keeps going.
Keeps
open. Speaking, the process keeps going until they do pass it.
Right. Yeah. In that instance, do they hang on the first non-pass listing, or do they then subsequently drop down to the...
No, because their review is still open.
It's still applicable to that first non-pass.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's very
helpful. Nice clarification.
Yeah. Okay. So we got this listing that... Think I read it right? Everybody has at least received a warning letter, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we're trying to determine if we need to do anything more on some of these people. If you know, we felt their first practice so egregious that we should do something a little more than just our normal warning letter.
So. Generally, first times are just informational.
Yeah.
And I know, good timing. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something that Kimberly wanted to talk about today.
And luckily she didn't talk about it.
You have excellent timing.
Sorry I'm late, guys.
No, it's okay. Just perfectly on time. We just got to you.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about the, just start look at the first non-pass review report.
Yes.
And
talking about whether it's informational only or what they need to be looking at.
Yeah. So generally, they, I don't believe the board would do anything should a pass with deficiency or a failed report the first time. They're not going to do anything with that because that does, well, it shows, you know, maybe a bad review, but you know. We all know that that can happen with something small or something much larger, but generally we're looking for them to improve. So if they were to get a second consecutive or failed report, that's when I think we would want to dig in a little bit deeper. But the first, it can be something very benign.
Especially on engagement reviews.
Right. So we can keep giving them to you, or we can just track them. Mm-hmm. And just have this committee really focus on the consecutive pieces. Because that's probably where more of the meat is, anyway.
Right. I think, and the important part from our aspect is that we did send them a warning letter.
Yes,
and
we did that.
So they can put on notice that, you know, get things squared away, start showing some improvement, or if you make the next list.
Right.
So do we want to continue sending first-time lists through, or, I mean, I just want to make sure that we're clear.
That's really up to the committee. I don't really see the point of it if we're not going to.
I agree. You know, personally, there's a lot of details within the first non-pass.
Mm-hmm.
I think for this committee's purpose, we should focus on the consecutive non-pass, because then there's a root cause there.
Exactly.
Where there's something more pervasive, and then we actually focus our time on
mm-hmm.
those
and
issues.
And here's a side benefit. If we just do consecutive, and I don't know how many are on the agenda today, but you know, maybe we could have phone conferences rather than having y'all drive all the way down here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, side.
Good thought.
Just
an idea.
Well, and maybe meet a little bit more regularly, you know, rather than say, well, we only have one or two, so it's not worth having everybody drive, so
yep,
postpone
yep.
it.
You
if you're meeting
out.
By phone, yeah, you could still meet four times a year, but it'd be quick.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, with that, actually, I think instead of, I think it'd be nice to at least still send out the Excel sheet, the three page.
Yes,
the
and not,
three
not
page,
all the
but not the,
okay.
yeah,
not the 242.
Pages.
Yep, this is right.
Okay.
And then I think from a committee, you know, if we have special questions about any of the notes on the Excel summary sheet, then we can reach out.
Absolutely.
Do it on an exception basis.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, to half our new business.
Good time.
Yay. So then moving on to the next group. You know what number that is, where it starts in the PDF?
217.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh,
okay.
It was a lot of pages.
Yes. And it was a lot shorter. Okay, so we're starting with number 8. I don't think there's anything to do. That's just more informational on that they passed the 2018, so they went the right direction.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. system's working.
Yep. Same with number 17. So that brings us down to number 24. And so we've sent them a warning letter. They remember right there. On the reports, got it to pass with deficiency because on one preparation engagement, we noted that they did not disclose a known departure from the reporting framework. So I'm guessing it was cash basis or
mm-hmm.
something like that. And this is a firm that does 31 compilations and 3 reviews.
And the recommendation was additional CPE?
Yeah, so it was additional
CPE. That was the corrective action?
Yep. And for carrying it, okay, because you both are new, I'll just
right.
share. The RAB is somewhat limited in what they can request.
For their corrective action?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's guidance from the standard peer review standards that kind of structures what they can do. There are times they would like to do a lot more than what they could do, but their hands are tied.
Like, what do you think? Just what would be things they'd actually like to add instead of just the 8 hours?
Oh, there have been times that, you know, even for an engagement review, they want, you know, they just, there have been times it's like, really? You know, we ought to just double, and they can't. I mean, there's just, you know, there's guidance on what you can do. Mm-hmm. If it's a major kind of thing, they can do the post to pre-issuance reviews, but for the minor things, they can't. But it's irritating. It's irritating to the RAB members when they see consecutive non-pass. Because one of the things they also have to look at, is it a repeat? It has to be an exact repeat finding, not a similar, but an exact repeat.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that they can look at. I mean, they're looking at it. So they know that this is a consecutive non-pass. But they have to isolate sometimes whether it's an exact repeat or not. So. Yeah, but over the years they've been frustrated because.
At the same time, given that their recommendation in this particular instance was just additional CPE, and it implies to me that they didn't think it was too egregious, and that they weren't requiring to have a post-issuance review or by an outside party or anything like that. So I guess I vote to leave it at, to be sent a warning letter,
I believe that there's a second letter we can send with a consecutive non-pass after the proper set it and says, you know, we looked at this, just keep in mind that, you know, because after three, now, say they got a third one now, and it wasn't exactly the same thing.
No, it's not. I'm just saying that often when there's an exact repeat, they're focused more on that exact repeat than because that's showing they've not made any improvement. Sometimes it's not the same repeat. It's still maybe because they're not taking appropriate CPE or not paying attention, one or the other. But when they do the exact same thing, it's just a little bit more irritating.
Yeah. I mean, you said they're going to fix it.
Previously they say they're going to fix it and they're going to do this, but yet it's the exact same. So what did they really do? That's the frustration part.
Sure.
But so the rules are now, it used to be three.
Right.
That changed. Probably, I think it was 2016-17. So we moved into a two consecutive non-pass. And there's guidance on the RAB considering whether or not they should refer them to the peer review board for non-cooperation with the program.
Right.
There's a presumption that with two fails, it's an automatic referral. I thought of an example of when that might not happen. If the firm indicated that they were no longer going to perform any ANA engagements, then there's really no reason to refer them. If they're saying, I'm getting out of this, I'm not going to do this anymore. We have, for the past several years, had to, at the time we are accepting that review for the first time and deciding what kind of corrective action, because there's two consecutive non-pass, having to make a determination of whether or not we were going to refer them. And again, there might be two pass with deficiencies, but if they're totally unrelated, and maybe it's just because of standard change and it's recent and they didn't catch it on this most recent one, they may not refer them. If it's an exact repeat, they're going to refer them. We've just received guidance at the peer review conference in August that now they want us to wait for the referral until they complete the corrective action. So if they got it, if, in other words, I think they've got inundated with referrals. And so they're saying, if the firm is able to correct, you know, like on a subsequent review of an engagement, whether it's opposed to pre-issuance review, you might not refer them. So now we have to wait until they, and then, so we're kind of going, okay, now we got to remember, like, you know, 6 months later when this review comes, this corrective action comes back to the committee. Oh yeah, they had a subsequent not pass. So now we've got to talk about this instead of talking about it while it was right in our face. So, yeah, this is new. So we've got to figure out how we're going to track these.
Mm-hmm. You need more.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So.
And then when it's referred, that's not something that's loaded into PRIMA.
No. No, there's a, it actually starts a hearing case through the AICPA. And they have staff, hearing referrals can happen for different reasons. But in this case, they take them to a hearing panel. And they can make their case to the hearing panel. And depending on the outcome of that, they can be referred to the AICPA Joint Trial Board, which means they could lose, like if they're AICPA members, they could lose their membership. So for those that are not in the AICPA program, their process is going through a hearing panel, and then if there's still issues or they want to take it up another level, the Oregon Society Board would appoint a task force to take care of that. So,
but the findings are never passed on to our agency unless they were dropped or terminated.
Right.
So we don't know that.
I don't even see all the stuff. I just find out something, you know, I don't always know. I mean, I can tell you this because it's not even an Oregon firm, because we also do Hawaii. I found out that the Joint Trial Board does not meet regularly. So a firm could be in limbo, in other words, still be giving time to do whatever it is they need to get done. And if they did that before the Joint Trial Board meets, they would drop it at that point. They would drop the case at that point. And it comes back to the peer review committee to deal with, like if it's, so, yeah, so I'm going, okay, what?
So, I think you said earlier we do have a letter for two consecutive non.
I believe we do, that just says we've
another warning.
Yeah. We'll be here.
Right. We'll be here.
So I guess I'd propose that we send that warning letter, because it doesn't look too egregious, but obviously we don't like two password deficiencies either.
Right.
Okay. That for sure.
Next one, number 25. Let's see. They are improving. They went from a failed up to a password deficiency. And I think that one is a little more, apparently a little bit stronger remedial recommendation, in that at least in our notes we say that they wanted to have an outside party do the post-issuance review and assume they. Yeah, and $8 of CPE.
And additional CPE, yep.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, it's very short, but to the point, the guy said that he's arranged to have his current peer reviewer captain give each financial statement I do a pre-review.
as opposed to just
a post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like his response. It was very brief. Did it say what he did? Along with the compilation from referred to the. Okay, so this compilation report referred to GAAP when the financial statements were actually income tax basis. Mm-hmm. Which I can. Someone I can see that happening.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. The only thing I noted in his response was concise.
Yeah.
And it said he recalled and reissued the previous reports, right? So he fixed the prior issue. He's also having pre-issuance reviews performed. It doesn't really seem to respond to the continued CPE. Or at least I didn't notice that. Maybe it's...
It's been hard to miss in his
letter. Yeah, it's a pretty concise response, but...
his letter is dated October 31st. The letter from OSCPA is dated December 28th. And that's where it talks about the 8 hours of CPE.
Got it.
Was that additional corrective action then, do you think, Phyllis?
No, that would have been if the... Okay, so the report comes in after October 31st sometime. It's got to go through technical review.
Right.
And if it's an engagement review with nothing, no MFCs, no FFCs, no findings on a review, the technical reviewers can accept it within 60 days. Everything else, we have 120 days from the time we get all the work papers in. So if they come in late, the clock starts whenever everything is submitted. So it's telling me it didn't come back. We always have a November RAB. Mm-hmm. It would probably didn't come in till November.
Yeah.
Not time to make the November RAB meeting, so the next one was December.
Yeah. And then, but he was going to end up agreeing to the 8 hours of CPE.
Yes,
his letter was before
they,
that. Time.
They actually have to acknowledge. They have to actually log in pretty much and acknowledge this acceptance letter. Okay. They're going to do that.
Do you guys double check, or do they have to send a proof of completion that they took the CPE?
They have to send the CPE in. That's why there is a date, because if we don't get it by then, the system. It's all automated now. Start sending them notices.
Okay.
And if they don't submit it, then we get a pop-up possible hearing case for not doing what they need to do. I mean, it just kind of automatically generates it. So we're just trying to reach out to them. So because Prima's still new.
Yes.
And still a problem at times.
Yes.
So we're reaching out and doing. I mean, I'll just say we do everything we can to get them to comply.
Right.
With completing their corrective actions.
So I'd like to kind of circle back around on that after we get done with these reviews.
Okay. Just one more to go. So anyway, I would suggest we send them our warning letter. He's made improvements. He might be, sounds like he's maybe doing more than even what the remedial action was.
So he's doing, voluntary decree was a good step
that was a good,
in the right direction right there.
So. And then number 27. Do we need to talk about it all? In the red down the corner, it says firm no longer performing engagements that require us.
Blank.
Is that note previous, or is that?
Is that from 2015,
or is that 2000?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we sent them a warning, but then they went ahead and did.
That's what it appears. I don't know what firm this is. So, well, they went from system review down to an engagement. So,
oh, okay.
That's what they did. So they had the pass with deficiency on their system review in 15, and then quit doing whatever those engagements were, right. And then went up to just an engagement type of
review and
failed.
And failed that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah, kind of so much, pretty much. Right. And I don't know if there was no action taken as far as remedial action. Oh, yeah, they do. Okay, so that.
We did. We're going to take CPE and notify here, so they're not going to do any audits. But.
Oh, and then they said here that they're not going to do any compilations.
Any compilations either, yeah.
So it looks like they're completely getting out of any peer reviewable services at this point.
Right.
You're like, yeah.
All spade spade.
So done.
Yeah.
That's when the system works.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. So if they're not doing anything, I'm not sure we can do
right.
What,
no.
What are we going to do?
But
say,
I think it is something that we
can
monitor,
yeah.
You know, because sometimes they sneak them right back in,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Not sneak, maybe, but maybe they'll let us know until we find out on an individual renewal. Our firm renewals are coming up, so those are always telling. So that'll be something we'll just kind of want to keep our eyes on.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
So, that's done with number four.
Yep.
Step four. I have to stretch on this meeting here. I got 3 more hours, guys.
You already excused from work, so you can go do whatever.
Ah, is that it? And it's a nice sunny day.
Yeah, go golfing, maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, this was a shift because last time we spent a couple hours on the first time. So,
yeah.
You know, with the change, that's fine.
So, 2020 clock meetings. Probably, I don't know, do we need to?
Yes.
So last year I sent out that doodle poll to everybody. Mm-hmm. Did you guys like that? I can do that again.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Plan for 4 times a year.
Yeah. Approximately after a RAB meeting, when could we schedule a PROC meeting? You know, so if the RAB needs. Usually there, it's everything's uploaded within a couple, 2-3 weeks, right, or so.
I think it shows. Well, I don't know what since they changed it. It used to be 30 days after, but I think it's sooner than that now.
Okay.
Emily, I don't remember exactly, but we're meeting 10 times a year now, pretty much, because
pretty much a monthly.
Right. Some of them are very short. But we're trying to keep them moving through the process and trying to respect, I mean, the committee members put a lot into being prepped for the meeting, and then to have to take hours to go through the documents. So we're trying to keep them shorter. But it doesn't always work, but we're trying.
Yeah.
So by having them more regularly, it's not such a big load on them. To
right. I mean, it still can be. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the to look at all the documents. The last one we just had in September was 16 reviews. You know, they have to go through each one of them, and they have to be prepared to discuss each one of them. So it takes some time.
Okay. So we can.
Same time you're getting back to. Firms faster.
Right. We are trying. Yeah. We have 14 days after a RAB meeting to get all of to address everything that happened.
Right.
So to get all the acceptance letters out, if there were requests for additional time to complete a corrective action, to get all that stuff done.
Okay.
the 14 days. We try to get it done within a few days after the rep meeting. The nasty ones sometimes take a little longer.
A little longer.
So when we're trying to get everything together, that we have to tell them. But
so you'll send out a doodle pool for try to pick out about 4 meetings during the year. And
yeah, I think, Phyllis, you've given us dates through 2020 at least.
Through March.
March 2020.
Mm-hmm. I'll be working on the schedule for, I'll be working, because we'll have a new chair for next fiscal year, so I'll be working on a schedule with her.
Okay.
For the next year.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, Ashley will send that up to you with some dates to choose from.
Yeah.
When we were talking earlier about some delays in time, there's been a few instances in the recent past, where we had a firm who had a peer review in 16, maybe 15, that they still haven't completed after many tries, lots of correspondence from our office. I'm assuming from the society they must.
Yep.
Yeah, I know we know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Know we know what we're talking about. We can't tell you what we're talking about. But
someone's not getting their things fixed very quickly.
Right, and that was really concerning to me, that something, you know, that has these strict deadlines and has all of these parameters on what, you know, they can and can't do as far as their timeliness, that it still has drug on this long.
Well, there was a hearing.
See, so we don't get to know.
But I mean, I'll just tell you, there was a hearing, and so it was out of my hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, it got to the point I couldn't do anything else.
Right, right. And so
that's appropriate.
That's the process.
Yeah.
Right, and then from the board's perspective, not knowing that there's a hearing going on, you know, we have the authority to open a complaint or at least an inquiry on these firms to say, tell us what's going on, mm-hmm. And so. Just to know that things always kind of happen in clusters, and we had quite a few of those just in a little cluster time. So good to know that if there's that big of a delay, most likely it's a hearing.
It could result in a hearing. I mean, like I said, we're bending over backwards to try to get them to comply. And so we don't immediately jump and send them to a hearing just because they've reached the it's like 3 letters within 15 days of something being late. And because if we talk to them and they go, oh yeah, I'll do that. We send them the instructions on how to upload it in Prima, and I'll do that. I've got my CPE certificate or something like that. And then, you know, we're going on about our business, and then we realize weeks later, oh, they haven't done that yet. So it's, again, trying to get them to just,
right.
Just upload it, Prima, please. Just, if you have it, upload it.
And in one of the instances, is the review involved numerous people. So there was the peer reviewer, then there was an expert in a different area of the practice, and then a separate person for another area of the practice, and nobody was kind of scheduling and vacations and
communication kind of broke down.
Big time. Yeah. And so here we are. But good things to just be aware of when you might see on one of these reports a very big lapse of time between when the peer review started and the ending date. We don't know a lot about what's going on, but we definitely check in with them more often than I think we should, to be honest with you.
Well, sometimes I think that's why I all of a sudden hear from somebody.
Kids keep calling me.
I think the Board of Accounts, they must have reached out for them because they've been ignoring us.
Well, but when their next peer review is past due and they haven't completed it, that's a problem.
Yes,
it seems like a problem.
It is a problem.
All that time they're still providing the services.
Yeah. What we've seen more of, I'm going to be honest, in the past 6 years, sometimes these delays are related to life issues. It's all, I mean, sure. It's the only way I can put it. It's been life issue things. And so that's why we're also taking more time and not just rushing to refer someone for a hearing when life has kind of turned upside down for them. And we're just trying to help them through. So maybe there are times we're dragging on longer than we should before we refer them, but we know, they've told us enough that we know life is not normal for them right now.
For justifiable reasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of, it would kind of be a slap in the face to just refer them to a hearing.
Agree.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
And, but if we don't know that,
then, yeah.
Yeah, it comes down to communication.
Yeah, it comes down to communication.
And they aren't necessarily right. Communicating.
So. And so, yeah.
Okay.
One other thing, since we're just talking now. We have an active LRC, which is the Laws and Rules Committee, that we are actually meeting tomorrow, so it's meeting week this week. There's not a lot of changes that we've made to the Division 50, which is peer review rules. Really nothing substantial, but anything. But let me just look at it a little more. We have requested in the rules, or we're recommending in the rules to have require firms to give us their initial enrollment letter, because when we have an initial firm register with us and they say that they're doing something that's peer reviewable, we want to know, there's a letter that AICP or whoever sends out that says your first review will be the state. And so that way we can track when we should be expecting it. And that's not something that's currently posted in PREMA. There's something else that we want that's not posted in PREMA that everybody wants. Let me think about what that is.
The dropped letters?
The what? Yes. We don't see, well, we see dropped and terminated firms from
FSBA.
From the AICPA. I mean, we can go and look, but we don't know until they tell us. I mean, we don't.
Right.
But we could, yes.
You can get a list by date. And you can get, yes. So if you can't get that, we need to talk to them because you're supposed to have access to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we should be able to run a list on that.
And that would include people in the Oregon program, too.
Okay, that's good.
Because AICPA actually publishes, if it's an AICPA firm, they actually publish it in one of their publications. But if it's somebody in the Oregon program, it still would show up on that list.
Right. Good.
Okay.
We are, let's see, we just kind of shortened this one. They need to notify the board if they have any sponsor changes within 21 days. That's pretty typical. No, nobody really ever changes sponsors, though, so that's not a big deal.
But they may not, okay, I'm just going to say firms are not going to know what a sponsor is with that language.
Okay. That's good to know. I can still change it because the meeting's not till tomorrow.
No, because we're considered, I understand that you've approved us. Mm-hmm. You've approved us as a sponsor, but they're not going to understand that. And you probably can't use the term for us either. We'll try to help them.
Well, we can define what sponsor is in terms of peer review or administrating entity. We could just define that, and then that would make sense for them. So that would be an easy
fix. So let me ask you this. Does it matter if it's still an AICPA program?
Well, we would have to approve that.
For each state?
Do other states use something other than AICPA?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, Washington is using PREMA, like I am. Mm-hmm. It's an AICPA program.
Right.
So if a firm can choose to go to a separate administering entity within PREMA, they can opt in to say, I have a firm. Okay, I'll give you an example. I have a firm in Arizona. Arizona is administered by California.
That's right.
They choose for me to do it instead of California.
I don't think we care.
Okay, so are you talking about if they change from an AICPA program or AIC,
or the Oregon's
program.
Okay.
Anything that wouldn't be uploaded to PRIMA or FSB, I guess, because otherwise we wouldn't know.
Okay. I don't know that there is anything else out there. But
right. So that's why I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
I'm just talking. I just didn't want it to be, if it was going like this firm chooses to come to us, and I think he does because he needs to do it for Oregon, instead of letting California do it.
That's,
okay. Because I would want to tell them if they needed to let you know.
Let's see a little bit more on the enrollment. Oh, we are also asking to be notified if they are given an extension letter, because at this point we are not in the loop of extensions being provided to a firm for their peer review. That's not something that's posted in PRIMA or FSBA. So we're knocking on their door saying, you know, what's going on. So we're asking the firm to provide any extension letters that they receive within 30 days from the sponsoring organization's approval of that.
Okay.
Have you been asking for that?
When we know that we should be asking for
that. I thought it was already in the rules.
No.
Okay. We've been telling firms they have to send.
Good.
I think the letter even indicates that
you should be.
We have to be careful because we're doing Hawaii too. We can't do separate letters. So there's kind of like a generic, you may be required to.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really get them, so it's is not working, so we're putting it in rule.
Okay.
Let's see. That's about it for Division 50, but there's rule changes coming for every division that we will send to you once the board finally approves it for the notice of proposed rulemaking that you all can comment on. It's a lot of work, but I think a lot of good changes at the same time. So there's an update with that.
So I have one question. I was looking at our membership list that was in the packet, and my term supposedly expires on December 31st. Robert Moody's has already expired.
Excuse me.
Oh, he re-upped it.
Yeah, he's newish.
Newish. And then you guys are just fine.
Yeah.
What do we need to do?
And is there a vacant position?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have some?
Well, no, but I was thinking maybe we should keep that in mind in case we need to help recruit.
So what
people.
Happens is, and I can
give letter also expires. So.
Yeah, I think he can go another term for sure because he's only been on three year term. During renewals, we ask licensees if they're interested in serving on any committees or the board.
Right.
So what we do is we print that list and we give it to the board. They review it and say, not this person because of various reasons or whatever. And the rest we can pick and choose from. And so we can bring that or provide you that list if you know somebody that you think would be really good at it.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Also, since we're talking about that, if you know anybody who would be interested in serving on the actual board, we need two members, both in public accounting, desperately. So, if any of you are interested, let me know. And if you know somebody, let me know that too. You might want to think about that.
We can do both.
Can we be
on this committee and?
You can be on this. You can be on the board and be the liaison for the board to this committee.
Got it. Okay.
Because we usually have a board member here that represents the board in committee meetings. So
how often does the board meet?
About 5 times a year.
Oh, okay. So it's
not. No. And we're very efficient.
That's a good question.
It's true.
And we serve breakfast and lunch.
Oh.
And we pay you mileage and $30 a day. Right. Like, what else do you want? So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have any, let's see, I don't think we have any big firm. You're a big firm, I know.
Yep.
You're mid to, I don't know, You're self.
Very small. Yeah. Very small.
Okay, so those are the medium. Yeah. I don't know. Getting bigger, it seems like.
Sure. Well, and none of you are
we're the top
duplicate firm representations.
Right. Right. So yeah, we do have a nice group, though. Mm-hmm. Big. Huh?
Yeah.
Top 100. Yeah, yeah. Small.
Nice.
I mean, we do.
Yeah, it's good representation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's appreciated. So yeah, okay. Just reach out to me. I'll give you the interest form and all that good stuff if you're interested.
Do you know somebody that is?
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to talk about? You want to bring up?
Well, this is just informational, but I thought it was kind of interesting information that Ashley gathered for you. You know, this is kind of mm-hmm. things that you don't really know about, what you know,
yeah,
the inner workings
definitely.
Of things.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of fun to see. So, but yeah.
B3 says one firm blank. Do we know what that represented?
Maybe terminated, I wonder. No. Yeah, maybe.
That's weird. Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Unfirmed did something.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything we should know.
They just disappeared.
Yeah.
Yes. And firm renewals will be coming up. We'll be mailing them first part of November. So that will be another piece that will... That always brings up more issues too. For me, you know, we find out more
That's
than
true.
We want to know sometimes. So,
well, nothing else. I will adjourn the meeting.
Did we order lunch?
Yeah, lunch is here.
It is. What did we get today?
Soup and sandwiches, I believe, is what.
So at least grab a sandwich and soup. Yeah. You can take it to go. You can sit and chat here.
Yeah, we have the room for sure.
We have the. And now we got the right room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because upstairs, she sent them all to that room, and Ashley and I are like,
"We're done."
Yes, we're done. Nobody's here. It's